D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Tomorrow morning now, 10 a.m. at First Bank Stadium, the black and gold spring game for the Vanderbilt Commodores. And to help us discuss that, we go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, Vanderbilt head football coach, Clark Lee. Clark, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just hearing that announcement, think about what I got for you guys. Let's say you're a young family and it's like 6:30. The kids are up. They're wanting to do things. What do you do? Well, I tell you, 7:30 a.m. parking lot's open over here. Hey, listen, 8:30 a.m. Think about this: Vandy Phil and Kid Zone. We got inflatables, Willie face painting, yard games. Yard games, and then 9:35 Star Wars, 10 a.m., we're putting the ball down. Don't blink. It'll be over before you know it. What a great way to spend the morning as a family. Would you guys agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
I would. I also like how you pointed to Willie specifically about the face painting.
Yeah.
I have a vision of him with getting the Star V put on his face, and I think that needs to happen. So I'll see you guys at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Well, I like it. With a 4.5-year-old and a 2-month-old at home, Clark, I will be up way before all of that starts.
So this is going to fit your schedule
perfectly. Boom, I am the target audience for this. So Clark, ahead of the game tomorrow, just tell us, how has practice been so far, and do you have an early pulse on this team at this point of the year?
I think I told the team the other day, we've gotten somewhere. Are we everywhere we need to be? No, and we have ground to cover. That's why you have the summer. So I'm proud of the way they've worked. I'm excited for them to have the opportunity to go out and compete. It'll be a quick scrimmage. We're gonna run 4 quarters, 15-minute running clock, and the goal tomorrow is to engage with fans, to have one more chance to put the ball down, and really to come out of the spring healthy. But I think we've competed well. We've maintained energy level. It's been physical. I think there's some foundational identity that's formed around playing good football and what that looks like. I've seen personal development within individuals that we're gonna count on in the fall, which is exciting. And I think we've set the course to have a great summer, and that's what we'll turn our attention after tomorrow.
Clark, the player a lot of Vanderbilt fans are curious about is Jared Curtis, of course, a highly touted recruit from here in Nashville. He also has some big shoes to fill with the departure of Diego Pavia. How would you assess Jared Curtis's spring so far?
The physical tools are all there, and again, this will certainly be on display tomorrow. I mean, I think every time he takes a snap, you realize that there's a possibility it's going to be an explosive play. He can push the ball down the field. He can make any throw he needs to make, and he's able to get himself out of trouble with that arm talent right now. Where he's developing and growing is in the mental parts of the game, and that becomes big, obviously, at the collegiate level, because you are responsible for making sure the other 10 guys can perform every snap. And so knowing the formation, knowing the cadence, knowing the motions, knowing the progression, what I've seen him do when the play breaks down is I know he can create. So we're focused on getting him kind of stapled to a process pre-snap and post-snap, and then really want his instincts to kick in, once he goes through his progression and gets the snap off in the way it needs to get started.
We'll talk with Vanderbilt's head football coach, Clark Lee. Now, Clark, each and every year presents a different challenge because you got new faces in the locker room. Has the message been formed yet for this new group of guys, or is the message the same, but just the faces are a little bit different?
The identity, the foundation of the program is the same. We don't want to deviate from that because that's what's allowed us to reach this point. And so there's clear expectations. We say clarity, intent, and alignment in everything we do. So super clear on who we want to be, very intentional on how we actualize that every day. And in an aligned program, meaning everyone's pulling in the same direction. Those things haven't changed for us. I think where each team is different. You know, we take what we learned as Team 5, we apply it forward as Team 6, and that's both learned in the positive way, meaning things that we need to maintain in our process, and learned from mistakes and from failures where we had setbacks a year ago that kept us from our ultimate goal. We have to evolve forward. And beyond that, I feel like, you know, the message to the team is that the outside will doubt that we can recover from lost production, you know, and I think it's so easy to say, you know, you lose dynamic players like Diego Pavia, like Eli Stowers, like Cordae Sidnor, like Langston Patterson, these guys that have been so foundational to our success. And yet, you know, I've got a room full of people that understand the legacy that those players have brought to this program and are really anxious to prove that in that room there's plenty to account and to move the program forward. So, you know, these are things that we've been really clear about since January 11th, which is our first team meeting for this season. And, you know, again, how can we stay – hold the center, refine the edges. Let's not lose our identity. Let's make sure Vanderbilt football is defined by certain specific things, and then let's refine on the edges where we need to adapt and evolve both system-wise and production-wise to account for the new faces.
Now, Coach, you mentioned some of those dynamic players that that you guys lost. Eli Stowers, obviously, Diego Pavia. But I think the noticeable difference, I think, over the last 2 years have been your offensive line and how much better they had been, and which made the offense a lot better. Where are you at now with your offensive line? How do you feel about those guys, where they sit right now?
Well, I feel confident that we're going to end up where we need to be, you know, in the fall. I think to say that we could line up and play tomorrow, I don't feel that way, and I don't know that there's a coach in the country that would feel that way right now. Here's what I believe in. We have developmental pieces here that the guys that have been a part of this program now for multiple years. That's Cade McConnell. That's Kevo Wesley. I mean, this is Kevo Wesley's seventh year in the program, so he's the one guy that outdates me.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, is unique. And then, you know, other guys too, a guy like CJ Williams comes to mind as someone who's built, you know, snap experience in our program. We're really excited about. And then we've supplemented once again in the portal with some really talented players that are learning how to play within our system. So that's, you know, guys that have had productive careers that bring that production into the program that now are kind of going through the process of learning how we conduct business. My confidence is in Coach Klinakis and Jeff Nady and our O-line coaches that are, I think, the best in the country. And so every day is performance. Every day is repetition. These guys are really skilled as teachers and technicians, building the room the way it needs to be built. And so I know that they're going to maximize the next few months to get this group prepared for training camp. And I've already seen flashes that tell me that this unit has a chance to actually build upon the progress we made in the last two seasons.
Coach Clark Lee is with us. Vanderbilt Commodores, the spring game tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Everything opens up at 7:30 a.m. We got to love hearing that. So, Clark, I'm curious, coming off the season you had, you know, there was such a mantra amongst your players last year during the season about the misfits, right? Hey, we're a bunch of guys that came from other places that nobody wanted. I'm curious, when you went into the portal this year, how different was it recruiting to a team that had won 10 games? Do you get the same kind of players? Are you looking for the same type of players, or is it a wider pool that you're able to look for?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, I really appreciate that question. I think the answer is yes to both. Being a misfit is an attitude. So it's not about a skill set. It's a mentality. And we don't ever want to deviate from that mentality here. And you don't have to look far to realize this is not a place of entitlement, this program, and we have to earn everything we get. And And there's still this feeling of needing to prove it, you know, and being doubted. We're not going to lose that. And in fact, when I have conversations, be it with high school players or with portal prospects, I don't try to sell them on anything. I want to be really genuine and authentic in recruiting. We're not, you know, lining up Lamborghinis on the sidewalk and trying to convince them that this can be something that it's not. You know, what I want to do is challenge them and tell them how hard it's going to be. But for me, a life worth living is doing something that's really challenging with people that you care about. And that's what we get to do every day here. And the other part of this too is, like, there is no immediate external affirmation or validation that comes with signing up for this mission. And there's plenty of programs you can go to accumulate more Twitter followers if that's what you're interested in. What we're interested in is playing really good football and sacrificing for one another, being a part of something that's bigger than any one of us. But the success that we come into has our signature on it. We're not inheriting that from anyone else. And the right people are called into that mission, but we'll never deviate from that kind of attitude, that mentality, because ultimately I believe that's what makes a great team is not necessarily just the accumulation of talent. It's the alchemy of team. It's the connection, the chemistry, how a team amplifies when you have wholehearted people on a mission they believe in, doing it again with people they care about. So we want to stay really true to that. And then within that, we want to keep elevating the skills we bring in this program, because the right attitude with the right skills produces a dangerous team. And, you know, we're here to win a national championship. We're going to keep swinging at that year by year.
I'm curious about what you've learned about Jared Curtis as far as how he goes about learning what you were talking about, what is natural for a kid his age to have to learn. Because one thing that separated Diego Pavia from the day that he came to your program, he had that deep, deep knowledge of the offense. He knew exactly everything about it. And as you guys expanded, it was easy for him to learn. So he came in with that going in, whereas Jared Curtis is coming straight out of high school. That's a tall order for him. And he's got those physical gifts, but what have you learned about his ability to learn what he's got to learn?
He's humble, and so he's, I think there's so many people that want to have success that don't actually want to. It's like they want to be validated to do the job now rather than realizing the gaps they have to close. And Jared is the opposite of that. I think he came in as a sponge. He wants to learn. He's super engaged, both in training and in the football parts of this. And when you talk to him now about, you know, what the spring's been like and where he feels like he's done well, I think he acknowledges that the plays and the concepts he feels really comfortable with are allowing his kind of instincts to be showcased. But his time needs to be spent on understanding the plays and the concepts and just building the expertise around the system, the offensive system. There's a real awareness to that. And, you know, look, I think for a guy that has been able to rely on physical traits, and like I said to you earlier, that the physical traits are all there. He's exactly where he needs to be. Now he continues to close ground. And I think he has a chance to really make a case for himself this fall to be QB1. The other three guys are ahead of him with respect to their awareness and their knowledge of the system, and they're in good positions to compete in that respect. And my goal would be that all four feel like they can take their swing at the job in the fall. For me personally, you know, I ran a defense in 2018 at Notre Dame that I felt like was pretty good. And we went in the playoff and we played against a true freshman quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. And it didn't matter his lack of experience. He was still able to throw the seam ball and do the things he needed to do to win the game. So there's a world where a true freshman can be the best guy. I think we're just somewhere in the middle of his initial development here. I think we need to be super intentional about how we invest our time in the next 3 months. And we'll see if we close enough ground for him to be the guy. At the end of the day, the person taking the snaps is going to be the one that best positions this team to win. That is the mission. That'll be our focus.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. The black and gold spring game is now tomorrow at 10 a.m. Clark, remind us what time everything actually begins tomorrow.
So Willie gets here at 7:25.
Okay.
There's free parking. He's going to help direct, I think, parking traffic. Adam, you've got the donuts. D-Mace, you're the former player, so you can just show up for game. Right? D-Mace, I think if you show up at 9:55 and get a little stretch, and you'll be ready to play.
Game time is on
These
time.
Other guys time yeah. though.
Thank you so much, Clark. We'll catch
Thank
up
you,
soon.
Coach.
All right, guys, take care.
615-737-1025. Again, the black and gold spring game for Vanderbilt football is tomorrow at 10 a.m. at First Bank Stadium. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the Vanderbilt conversation coming up next. Let's set some early expectations for Jared Curtis as Vanderbilt's potential QB1. 615-737-1025. Today, join the Nashville Sounds, or you don't have to join the Nashville Sounds. You can go to the game, but if you can't, the Nashville Sounds take on the Worcester Red Sox at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina.